Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? And again, God, I love you. I worship you today. I praise you today, Lord. I exalt your holy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. It is such an honor to be here tonight. I basically invited myself to preach tonight, so don't blame him. Amen. Amen. But I have such an incredible, profound respect for your pastor and pastor's wife, and I mean that sincerely. If you hear I'm talking behind your back, it's true. If you hear it's bad, you know it's a lie. I was just thinking, 25 years and the leadership and where they brought, and through the Lord, obviously, but the Lord, they allowed the Lord to use them, and where this church is today. What an incredible, excited, amen. I remember the church in Sturtevant, and this is so exciting. What a tremendous thing, and that didn't just happen, but because of the great leadership of Pastor and Sister Schumacher. Amen. I think it would be good to give them a hand again. We honor you. Praise the Lord. We honor you. Amen. 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 And then, of course, for years, Sister Schumacher worked in the ladies' ministry as the president. And, of course, Brother Schumacher has been so involved in our district. And also, he was a presbyter of our section as well. And I was his secretary, so I got to work with him. And, when you admire people from afar, but many times when you get closer to them, then you start to see their warts. But I want you to know, the closer I got to him, the more respect I had for Brother Schumacher. And I appreciate him very much. God bless Brother and Sister. Well, Brother Portman somewhere. Amen. Sister, amen. Brother Portman, Sister Portman, we appreciate them. Newly licensed Brother Portman, and I had one exciting thing to be able to interview him and all that. That was great. Praise God. Praise God. And if you just allow me, I could not help. 18 years ago was a very sad day in West Bend when Mike and Sandy Pankinen and their family left West Bend and took a job at Putzmeister and came down here to Racine. And our loss was your blessing. And I love the Pankinens very much. Amen. Very much. Praise the Lord. The first person, 30 years ago, 26-year-old kid came to West Bend, the first person to call me pastor, or at least the first person to call me pastor and I felt meant it, was Mike Pankinen. And I will never forget that. And God bless you. Thank you, Brother Pankinen. I love you very much. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right, let's preach here. I got a whole lot of stuff. My wife says, you put too much in and you talk too fast. So, but if I talk slow, then it'll be too long. So, Deuteronomy 6:1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Most of us, if not all of us, could quote Deuteronomy 6:4. Most of us, if not all of us, are very familiar with Deuteronomy 6:4 and 6:5. But I don't know how familiar we are with Deuteronomy 6:3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. Everybody say with me, increase,
increase.
Mightily.
Mightily.
Say it again.
Increase.
Say it again.
Increase.
Say to the person next to you, increase mightily.
Increase mightily.
Amen. I want to preach to you on those two words by the help of the Lord. Let's ask God to help us here. Lord, we love you. Your word is anointed. I thank you for your presence that's in this house. I thank you for the people that have sacrificed to come to the house of God to be here tonight on this Sunday night in February. Lord, I pray that you will bless them. I ask you, dear God, to help me to preach your word. My God, I need you. Anoint me for your glory and for your purpose. I pray, God, that you will move, dear God, at the end of this service, and we will respond, dear God, that, Lord Jesus, we will, Lord, fulfill, Lord, the word of the Lord in our lives. I pray, help us. I know you desire, dear God, that we would all increase mightily, and I pray, let that happen in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you so very much. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah was writing to those who had been taken captive by the Babylonian army. There were many Jews who had been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. They were living in captivity. They were away from their homeland. Jeremiah gives words from the Lord for these people in this condition. He tells them this. He says, you are to build houses in Babylon and live in them. He tells them, thus saith the Lord, you're to plant gardens in Babylon, and you are to eat from them. You are to marry and to have children in Babylon, and your children are to marry and have children in Babylon. The point being is this, Jeremiah 29, verse 6, take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. That in and of itself is an incredible verse of scripture that God says, I want you to increase and I don't want you to diminish. But you see, in this chapter, the Lord spells out to Judah what will happen to them. For 70 years, you're going to be in bondage in Babylon. At the end of 70 years of captivity, the Lord's people will come back to the city of Jerusalem. Then the Lord says that he will give them a blessing and a promise that is in store for his people. For Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The Lord says, listen, I want you to know something. I have thoughts of peace, not of evil, toward you. You're my people. The plan of the Lord is to give his people an expected end, which means a future full of hope, praise the Lord. And the Lord says, if you will pray and seek after me with all of your heart, you'll find me, praise the Lord. Now the context of this incredible promise is what is just so amazing to me, because they are in a place where they do not want to be. Have you ever been there? They're in a place where they don't want to be. They're in a place called Babylon. They're on a foreign soil, and they're being held captive. Yet the Lord tells them to build houses and to live in them, to plant fields and to eat from them, to marry and have children, and have your children marry and have children. And then he even says there will be people who will tell you this is not what you should do, but the Lord is telling you to build houses and to live in them, and to plant fields and to eat from them, and to marry and have children, and have your children marry and have children, all while you are in a place where you don't want to be. However, while they're in a place where they do not want to be, they are to seek after the Lord. Amen. With a passion, with all your heart.
Amen. Come on, that's right. All your heart.
If they will seek after God with all their heart, even in a place where they don't want to be, they will find the Lord.
Amen.
And they will experience increase.
Amen.
But what's even more amazing is they are in Babylon because of disobedience. They are in Babylon because of what they had done. Disobeyed God, lack of faith in the Lord. And yet the Lord is saying, I want you to know something. I didn't send you into Babylon to destroy you. I didn't send you into Babylon to wipe you out. I know you're there because of what you have done and you have disobeyed me. But I want you to know, amen, my thoughts about you are not thoughts that somehow I'm going to bring judgment upon you at the end. I'm here to tell you, amen, my thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace and they're thoughts of hope, praise the Lord. They're thoughts of blessing. They're thoughts of victory. They're thoughts of deliverance, praise the Lord. I want you to know I want to do that to you. As long as you will seek me with all of your heart, you're going to find me.
Amen.
The message is simple. It really is. Even though we find ourselves living in very difficult situations, you can still increase. In fact, there is no situation that the Lord allows us to find ourselves where he wants us to diminish.
Amen.
There's no sickness. There's no financial difficulty. There's no problem at home where the Lord somehow has placed you. And in that situation, the Lord says, sorry, can't help you. Sorry, I guess this is going to be the end of you. Sorry, I guess this isn't going to work. No. There is not one single place. There is not a place where you can find yourself. There is not a location. There is not a situation, amen, where the Lord will allow you to be and where we find ourselves, amen, where the Lord wants us to diminish. Every situation we find ourselves, the Lord does not just want us to survive, but he wants us to grow. He wants us to expand. He wants us to increase. The desire of the Lord is to give his people a blessed future.
Amen.
But the people of God must have a passion for God.
Amen.
No matter where we are, we must have a desire for God.
Amen.
And if we have a desire for God, no matter where we are, we will increase.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Everybody say increase. They say, increase mightily. The early church, the book of Acts, is something that we all want to pattern ourselves after. And I appreciate so very much what your pastor said. He said, isn't it wonderful that we can have the same experience that they had in the book of Acts? The early church was powerful. The early church experienced the miraculous. The early church turned their world upside down. But the early church did not have ideal circumstances. Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter over money. They were playing the part of the hypocrite. They were trying to act like they were something that they were not. And the result is they dropped over dead in church. Now, I would think if that happened in West Bend, you know, it might hinder things here. But I don't know about here in Racine. It could be different. But that's not what happened in the early church. They dropped over dead. And look at what Acts 5:11 says. And great fear came upon all the church. I get that. And upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And look at verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Out of hypocrisy came increase. There arose a murmuring because the widows were being neglected. The apostles selected seven men of good report to wait on these widows. The apostles continued studying the word of God and praying. The result was an increase. Acts 6:6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What does that tell me? It tells me out of murmuring came increase. Everybody say increase. Timothy withstood much criticism because his mother was a Jew and his dad was a Greek. Paul had Timothy circumcised. In the midst of this criticism, there was an increase. For Acts 16 records that as Paul and Timothy went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased. in number daily. Out of criticism came increase. The seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the devil out of a man. The demon-possessed man jumped on these seven men, beat them, and ripped off their clothes. These men were playing church. They wanted the power of God without a commitment to him. What does the Bible say? And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In spite of those who had a lack of commitment, still there came increase. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church. Acts 8 says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What's the point? Out of persecution came increase. I want you to hear this. In spite of hypocrisy, in spite of murmuring, in spite of criticism, in spite of lack of commitment, in spite of persecution, the early church still increased. The early church still increased. Nothing could stop them. No location could stop them. Nothing could stop. Why? Because the core of the church had a passion for Christ. They had saw the risen Savior. They were willing to hazard their life for the name of the Lord, and there was something that happened. Nothing could stop. No location could stop, praise the Lord, the increase that God had promised. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to increase. No environment, no situation, nothing. God has not placed you there to diminish you. But God has given a promise. The expected end that he has for you, his thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace. You may have made a pig's breakfast out of your life. You may have disobeyed the word of God and done things you should not have done. We're not here to somehow gloss over that and say that's no big deal. You need to repent. You reap things, amen, that you sow. I get that. I understand that. But there's something so incredible about our God that he can work it out for good. There's something so incredible about our God that in spite of all of that, praise the Lord. He says, I don't have you there to destroy you. I've got you there for you to increase. Paul taught the Corinthians a very, very important principle. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This text reveals our responsibility to and in the harvest, planting and watering. Paul planted, Apollos watered. This text reveals our limitations. Man cannot give the increase. We must be satisfied with planting and watering. If a man casts seed into the ground and should rise night and day, that's all that he can do. He can't plant something in the ground and somehow every day pull it out to see how it's doing. He can't do that. He'll destroy it. Amen. All that he can do is plant it. All that he can do is within his ability, water it. That is it. Amen. He cannot make it come up, nor tell how God does it. This text reveals our need of God. He alone can give what we want and need, and that is the increase. Without him, we can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Increase comes from God. Increase comes from God. Planting and watering equals a desire to increase. But God is the only one. Paul went on to say in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's not me. It's not me. It's not, You know, Brother Schumacher said some nice things, and it's amazing since I've become presbyter. And now Brother Schumacher's been my friend. This is God knows my heart. This has nothing to do with him. Amen. But it's amazing since I've become presbyter how many new friends I've got. Amen. And it's amazing how somehow people just, oh, you're the presbyter. You know, big deal. Amen. You know what? So I'm the presbyter. So I'm a pastor. Amen. I want you to know something. I can't bring an increase. Amen. I could do what I could do, but God's the only one, praise the Lord, that gives the increase. That man can do what he could do. He could preach, he could pray, he could seek the face of God. But I want you to know at the end of the day, the increase is from God. Praise the Lord. You can do what you can do, praise the Lord. But don't you think there's something so high and mighty? Because you know what? All you can do is plant, all you can do is water. But the only one that gives the increase is God. He's the God of the increase. The children of Israel. The most famous passage of scripture that we know and Orthodox Jews memorize, Deuteronomy 6, children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land. Now Moses will not be traveling with them to the promised land, but still he wants them to succeed. Don't you love people like that? That even though they're not going to enjoy it, amen, they still want others to enjoy it and experience it. And that was how Moses was. And Moses tells the nation of Israel of God's desire. Deuteronomy 6:3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily. As the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That word mightily in the Hebrew, amen, it means speedily. It means greatly. It means mightily. It's an incredible word, praise the Lord. Amen. That God wants you to increase speedily, praise the Lord. God wants you to increase in a mighty way. God wants you to increase in a great way, praise the Lord. Amen. Again, the theme, praise the Lord, is very apparent. It is the Lord's desire that his people increase mightily, praise the Lord. Amen. It is God's desire, a person, a family, a church, or a nation. Amen. God wants them to increase, but they can only increase by and through the power of God. It is God. Amen. It is God. Amen. Who gives the increase. Amen. Oh, God. I'm going to say something. Amen. And you can take this out of context. You know what? Amen. If you think that you pray 6 hours a day, amen, that's going to make you a mighty lady of God. If you think, because I fast, 40 days, amen, then I'm going to be incredible. If you think I read my Bible and memorize it, amen, that's going to make me an incredible man or woman of God. Amen, you got it all wrong. Amen, you got it all wrong. Amen, it's not because of that. Amen, you got to pray. You got to read your Bible. You got to fast. You got to do these things. But you got to understand, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. So in my opinion, Moses gives the single most important instruction that a person could ever receive. Because he wants his people to increase mightily. And so how is that going to happen? He gives the single most important instruction. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Shema that every Orthodox Jew prays, that that's the last words that they will say as they die, as they pass from this life to the eternity. They pray that they will say that, amen, and declare it from their lips. I'm telling you what, thank God, amen, that we know who he is, amen, that he is God manifested in the flesh, that he is a mighty God in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, amen, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, that he's wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's only one God. I thank God for that. But I personally believe that there's more to this verse than just that. The Lord wants his people to increase mightily. And so he tells them how to increase mightily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want to increase mightily? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you how to increase mightily. You understand that there's only one God, that he is your God. Amen. And that you're going to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. If you'll seek after me with all your heart, you'll find me. I don't want you to diminish. I want you to increase. But there's got to be something within you. You got to have a passion for God. This is not a checklist that we do. God bless you for being in the house of God on Sunday night. I thank you and I honor your commitment and your faithfulness to the house of God. But just because you walked through the doors and came here doesn't mean in and of itself that something incredible is going to happen in your life. Just like it doesn't mean if you spend the night in a garage, you're going to wake up being an automobile. I want you to know something. There's got to be something more. Amen. There's got to be something within your heart that he is the Lord of your life and you're going to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh God. Jesus taught his disciples about being offended and forgiving. This is an incredible passage of scripture. Luke 17:1. He said to his disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast in the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." I personally believe this is the same connection with what the Lord said to Peter about how many times do I have to forgive my brother, and you know, seven times seven. I believe that what the Lord is implying here is forever. You got to keep on forgiving. He offends you, you got to keep on forgiving. Jesus says people will offend you. People are going to offend you. If you didn't know this, I'm sorry. Here, you're missing out, and I'm coming here and telling you you're going to be offended. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's go home. No, I mean, you're going to be offended. People are going to offend you. And the offender, if he or she refuses to make things right, they will suffer consequences. I get that. But Jesus taught that the right thing to do was to forgive. In fact, he was teaching unconditional forgiveness. I'm not here to just say, oh, big deal, people that have hurt you. Amen. I'm sorry for every hurt that you've gone through. There are people here, I know, that you have been betrayed by, and I'm not trying to open up any wounds here, but you've been betrayed by family members, and you have been violated, and there's things that have happened in your life, and it's easy for me to get up here and just to say, you got to forgive. I get that, but you do. You need to forgive. You got to have forgiveness in your heart. But what I love about the reality of the Word of God, because the Word of God shows us people, and it shows us great heroes, but it shows that these heroes have feet of clay, and it shows the warts and everything, and it shows that these were not superhuman people. Here the Lord gives this instruction that you've got to have unconditional forgiveness, and the disciples recognized that they were not strong enough to be able to forgive, especially unconditionally. They needed power. Because the next verse of scripture, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. It's in the context of not wanting to do a great healing. It's in the context of forgiveness that they say, Lord, increase our faith. If we're going to forgive, we need power. And the only way to experience power is through faith. And if we don't have enough power to forgive, we need more faith. And the only one, can I say this? There's enough power of God in this place to heal every sickness in Racine County. There's enough power of God in this place to save every individual in this entire area. In fact, I'm going to say this. I believe this. There's enough power of God in this place, praise the Lord, to save, amen, the entire state of Wisconsin, to heal every sickness and every disease. Our problem is not power. Our problem is faith. It's never been the problem with power. It's a problem of faith.
Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. The only one that can increase our faith is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can increase our faith. He is a God of the increase. It's not. Amen. You got to pray. And we need to pray more. And we need to fast. And we need to read our Bibles. And we need to teach more Bible studies. And we need to do more than we can do. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, in and of itself, doing those things, that's not going to increase your faith. What's going to increase your faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can increase your faith. If you're having trouble forgiving, if I'm having trouble forgiving, it's a faith issue. Whether we can trust God or not, that God will take care of it and God will make it right. It's a faith issue. Oh God. Jesus, now this is all in the context here. Unconditional forgiveness. I don't think we can do that. Increase our faith, Lord. Now they were smart enough to know that he's the one that gives the increase. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus responded to their request by telling them about something that seems totally unrelated, for Jesus talks about the job of a servant. Luke 17:7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. I think not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. The request was, increase our faith. And the answer was, be a servant. Do more. Do more than just enough to get by. But give your whole heart to serving Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many people have told me, what's the bare minimum? What's the bare minimum? What's the bare, what do I have to do just enough to get by? What do I have to do? I had one person come to me and say, now listen, I get all this. You want me to come to church all the time. You want me to look holy and godly, and you want me to do all this stuff. But could you just tell me, amen, what's the abridged plan? Amen. Just tell me what's the bare minimum so when the trumpet sounds, I'll go. Amen. Could you just tell me what's the bare minimum that I need? Because you see, I got some partying to do and I got some living that I want to do, and it's going to hinder me, amen, if I really get into church. So what's the bare minimum? I want you to know something, amen. That person, amen, thank God people come in and repent and are baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But somewhere along the line, amen, this is not a ticket that we've got just to punch out of here and wait for the trumpet to sound. Something you got to have faith. Amen. When the Son of Man come back, will he find faith on the earth? What is that? What's the Lord talking about? The only one that increases faith is the Lord. And the only way that we get our faith is when there, what the Lord is saying here is, amen, you want faith to forgive. You want faith to overcome. You got to have power. Amen. And the only way you're going to increase your power is increase your faith. And the way you increase your faith is if there's something within you that says, Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. It's not the bare minimum. It's not, what do I have to do to get by? It's, Lord, I give you everything. God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The more faith, the more power. Jesus Christ wants to increase you mightily. Love them more than you've ever loved them before. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to worship him on a Sunday night. Amen. When everything sounds so beautiful and awesome. Please believe me, I am in no way rebuking you. Thank God for what's taking place in this house. Thank God for what happened this morning. Thank God for what the Lord is doing. But you understand, hallelujah, it's not just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night deal. Amen. It's something, if we'll live for him with all our heart, if he's the Lord of my life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and to the best of my ability, I'm trying to love him with everything I've got. And you pray, Lord, I've been hurt, and I don't know how I can make it through. Would you, Lord, increase my faith? He will increase you speedily. Speedily. You want to make it through a situation? Hallelujah. God can work in your life just like that. Amen. He can work. He can do a miracle. He can make the situation not change one bit. But something happens within you that says, I can make it. I can make it through. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hataba hataha. Everybody say, increase mightily. Say it again. Do you understand? He wants to take you where you're at. Oh, God. Pankinus got saved under Pastor David Norris, one of the finest Christians ever walked the face of the earth. They've been in the church, so I know, over 30 years. Thank God. It's good to see you back here. But I want you to know something. Amen. You haven't sang all the songs. You haven't experienced all there is to experience. Hallelujah. There's still more. Praise the Lord. God's still got more for you. I could say that about you. Amen. I don't care how long you've been here. There's still more that God's got for you. None of us have cornered the market on God. He's got more for us. And the more we get, hallelujah, the more, praise the Lord, we will increase in our faith and power. Born in pain. Perhaps it was childbirth. Perhaps he was abandoned. Perhaps he was unwanted. Perhaps he was mistreated. He is named Jabez. In those days, a man's name was very significant. Jabez was called pain. Imagine growing up like that with a name that means pain. What was your mother thinking? What was your father thinking? Every time his name was called out, Jabez, it was a reminder of pain. His name means one that causes pain. We might just say loser. He's a loser. Jacob was called a grabber, a supplanter. Naomi and her husband called their boys Mahlon and Chilion, which means sick and wasting away. And both of them died in early childhood. I wonder why. Solomon means peace, and that is the only time there was no wars in Israel. If names had power, it did not look good, did not look well for Jabez. But Jabez refused to wallow in self-pity. Jabez recognized the desire of the Lord to increase. So Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10, a man called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I like this. He called upon the God of Israel and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He cried out to God, bless me. Would you bless me? I'm in pain, but you can bless me. I'm a loser, but you can bless me. I'm not wanted, but in spite of that, you can bless me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Amen. I had trouble sleeping last night thinking about this service tonight. Amen. I don't know, but I believe I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Instead of feeling sorry for oneself, why don't you cry out to God and say, bless me, praise the Lord. Bless me indeed. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Hey, I know what it is. I know what it is. Somehow we think that we can increase ourselves. Somehow we think, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to school, you shouldn't work hard, you shouldn't do those things that we should do. But somehow we think, if I do all of this, then I will increase. Somehow, amen, we have been taught and sold a bill of goods that it's society's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my grandparents' fault. It's the government's fault. And somehow we wallow in self-pity because we think we're losers and we think we're insignificant. Would to God somehow we would understand there is a desire on the part of Almighty God. He wants you to increase. But somehow you need to cry out to God and say, Lord, would you bless me? I don't know. I have no clue, Pastor Schumacher. Amen. And maybe it's different, and I don't say that to be funny. But I have people that beat themselves up, and they think they're no good. I pastor some people because of things that they did in their past, because of things that were done to them. And they feel like they are worthless. And they feel like, amen, they can never amount to anything. I even have some people that have this mindset, why, woe is me? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God doing this to me? Maybe there's nobody here like that. Maybe no one has ever had that thought. But I've pastored some people, amen, that somehow they think that God's got them there. Amen. And they think that if they could make just a little bit more money, they'd be happy. They think if they could just have just a better job or a better house or change location. I've even had people think if they change partners, if they got a different wife or husband. I've even had people think if I move to another church and somehow, amen, all of this is going on. What is it? Because they think somehow they're in control of the increase. They are not in control of the increase. None of us are in control of the increase. There's only one that gives the increase, and that's God Almighty. Somehow you need to realize that you can cry out to God and say, oh, would you bless me indeed? You're going to be surprised. He's a God that wants to bless. He's a God that his thoughts toward you are pleasant thoughts, thoughts of peace. He doesn't want to squash you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to expand. He wants you to increase. Oh, God. Oh, God. The first thing. Am I making sense? The first thing that Jabez requested was that which he could not do for himself. Jabez desired increase, and only God can give increase. And he said, enlarge my coast. Oh, what to God. What to God. He wanted the Lord to bless him by enlarging his territory. He wanted more influence. He wanted more responsibility. He wanted more opportunity to make a mark for God. Jabez was crying, surely I am born for more than this. He looked over, amen, what was in his control, the borders, the limitations, the frontier, and Jabez said, I want more. I want a different view. Amen. I want a different view. I want to see more. I want to experience more. I want to have a greater influence. I want to do more, expand my opportunities to do more and greater and better. I cannot say it enough. The Lord wants you to increase mightily. I got Bible four times. I could keep us here all night. Four times. Amen. The Lord promised Israel that he would enlarge their borders. There is something, amen, that God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to increase. He wants us to expand. He wants us to experience more. He wants us to have a greater influence than we've ever had before. He wants our impact at work, at school, in the neighborhood, in the stores, in commerce. He wants it to be greater than ever before. He wants to expand and increase our lives. Amen. And when you pursue God, amen, for more opportunity and more influence and more responsibility that you might honor him, God will always respond. You're going to go in the promised land. This is what God wants me to tell you, that you might increase mightily. And this is how it's going to happen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. O God, your best days, if you think God is done, with this last expansion. And if you think, and you know, you think, oh, we don't want to go through that again. I'm probably going to give the pastor a heart attack right now. If you think this is it for this congregation, this is not it. This is not it. Thank God for what he's done. But he wants, oh, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. God, you're the one that blesses. You're the one that enlarges my coast. Lord, I need you. That doesn't mean we don't work. That doesn't mean we don't pray. That doesn't mean we don't knock doors. Doesn't mean we don't teach Bible study. But we understand. Amen. I planted. Amen. Apollos is watered. But God, you give the increase. You're the God of the increase.
I, 2010, I had an incredible spiritual experience. And I won't go into all the details, but God dealt with me about the heart. And I literally spent the entire year of 2010, every Wednesday night and many Sundays, teaching and talking and preaching about the heart. And one of the things that came from that was Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is alphabetical, and it's the longest psalm of all. Eight stanzas commence with one letter, and then another eight with the next letter. And so the whole psalm proceeds by eight verses through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The entire subject of Psalms 119 is the Word of God. And in only five verses out of 176 verses do we fail to find a reference to some form of the Word of God. Another dominating theme in Psalms 119 is that of the heart. It is mentioned 15 times in Psalms 119. The connection between the Word of God and the heart is very apparent. The psalmist makes this declaration, a verse that I pray every day. Psalms 119, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I believe that scripture implies that God is the only one who can enlarge a person's heart. My scriptural basis for this is from the psalmist's request and from the life of Solomon. 1 Kings 4:29 records this about Solomon. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. God gave Solomon wisdom. He gave him understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, that is. That means many high powers of mind, great capacity for receiving, as well as aptitude for communicating knowledge. Many Bible scholars agree that the concept of an enlarged heart means to gain more understanding. The psalmist understood that only God can enlarge the heart or increase the capacity for understanding and receiving the things of God. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. This running in the way of the commandments, God's commandments, implies more than an apathetic following. It shouts with an eagerness to follow the word of God. I will run the way of thy commandments. I mean, a lot of people, we got people in our church that run during song service, and that's great, and they dance during song service. But the psalmist of Psalms 119 said, I will run the way of thy commandments. Amen. They can run during song service, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to run, hallelujah, because I love your word. Amen. I'm going to run because I love your word. Praise the Lord. There was nothing apathetic. There was nothing somehow that it was of no
value. It was not ho-hum, but there was a love that he had for the word of God. An enlarged heart is to experience a greater capacity to receive and understand the word of God, the blessings and power and the things of God. Praise the Lord. There was something he said. He said, listen, I love your word. Amen. And I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The more you enlarge my heart, the more I will experience and understand, and the greater revelation will come in my life. Praise the Lord. Because my heart is, God, would you enlarge my heart? I love your word, but I want to love it more. I understand your word, but I want to understand it more. Lord, would you enlarge my heart? This is the point. This is my point. If an enlarged heart in Scripture implies a greater capacity to understand and receive the things of God, then how much of God and the things of God a person experiences and receives is all dependent upon the size of their heart. If God is the only one who can enlarge a person's heart, then God must determine the size of your heart by the desire you have for him and his word. I've got a friend that has esophageal cancer, and he's up in Sister Bay, Door County. And we've gotten to know him over the years. My wife and I, for our anniversary for many years, would go up to Door County, and we got to know him. He's a shopkeeper up there. And we went in several months ago now, and he was looked terrible, and at that time he did not know what was wrong with him. Pardon me. But then he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, and I want to win him to the Lord. I want to see him healed, and I want to win him to the Lord. And he's very new agey and different things, but of course, it's when you get cancer like that and they're given a death sentence, you become a little bit more open to God. And God's given us opportunity to pray with him on more than one occasion, and I felt impressed of the Lord, not because I'm a hero, but just because I want to try and obey the Lord. And we've driven up there, done a day trip to go up there and see him and pray for him. And January or December 30th, I felt so impressed to go up and to see him and pray for him. And well, we're driving up there, and it was 17 below zero on our car, and we're driving up. And as we're driving up, we went by this lake, Lake Ellen, I think it is, or Lake Eileen. And I couldn't help but notice, 17 below on our car thermometer. You know it's much colder. I don't have to tell you about wind chill. We're driving, but I couldn't help but notice that there were men out, had cut a hole. Cut a hole in a lake. And we're fishing. Now, I think what you're going to think is that I'm mocking them. And I'm not mocking them. I'm making a point. I don't get that. I don't get that. I cannot comprehend that. Driving by, looking and seeing 17 below with a wind chill of, what, 30 below, whatever. Amen. And they're on a lake, and they're ice fishing. And my wife said, you're going to drive off the road. I'm sorry. I don't get that. I don't get that. I can't comprehend that. It I just don't get that. Now, if you're an ice fisherman and you maybe would love that. And what is it? Because you see, amen, it's in your heart. And I'm not saying it's wrong to ice fish. It's in your heart to ice fish. Some of you think it's crazy. Why would anybody go shopping? I hate shopping. Why would you want to go shopping? Some people say, man, I hate to go hunting. Hey, man, while others love to go hunting, others love to go shopping. What is it? And I'm not making fun of anything here. What I'm trying to say is, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it. What is it? Sometimes people wonder, hey, man, what is it that causes you to jump up and down? Hey, man, what is it that causes you to come to the house of God? What is it? And they sit there and they say, I don't get it. I don't get it. They're not mocking. They don't get it. What is it? It's the size of their heart. It's what's in their heart. My God, enlarge my heart. I want to receive. I want to understand. I want a revelation. Praise the Lord. Enlarge my heart. But you see, our capacity to increase our understanding of God and His Word, and an increase in receiving the blessing and the power of God are determined by one thing: our passion for God. Because He's the only one that increases your heart, because He's the God of the increase. Oh God, I know people. There was this, when I was in Bible school, there was this pastor, Brother Mitchell, in Moline, Illinois. Amen. I can't think of his first name, but Brother Wayne Mitchell. Brother Wayne Mitchell wore bow ties. That's what he just always wore, bow ties, black bow ties. That's what he always wore. And you could tell kids that were in Bible school from Brother Mitchell's church because they all wore black bow ties. They all had black bow ties. And Brother Wayne Mitchell had sort of a high voice, a little squeaky type voice, sound like the Apostle Paul. And he would preach, and these guys, hey man, I'm not kidding, the bow ties, and they would try and have squeaky voice. I felt bad for one guy. He had a deep bass voice, so he tried, amen, to worship like his pastor, and I think that's an awesome thing. Amen. We need heroes, and the heroes should not be football players and baseball players, amen, and movie stars, but the heroes should be men and women of God. I get that. But you can try and dress cool like Brother Schumacher and Sister Schumacher, and you could try and emulate them and lift your hand how they do and how they worship and all of that, and all of that's good and great, but I want you to know something, that's not going to cause you to increase. Amen. That's not going to cause you to increase. What's going to cause, hallelujah, your heart, amen, to enlarge, if there's something that says, Lord, I love your word. Amen. I love your word. Amen. I want to know more about your word. Lord, I want to know more, amen, about you. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I'm just about done. If they want to start coming to, amen, carry me off here. Moses laid it out very clearly for us in Deuteronomy 6. It is the desire of the Lord that we increase mightily. Wow. I'm in the book. When I tell you the Lord wants you to increase in power, the Lord wants you to increase in influence and opportunity, God wants you to increase in understanding and revelation, I'm in the book. And the way to fulfill the desire of the Lord for you to increase is to have a passion for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Oh God. Don't you think the instructions of Moses going into the promised land, there's going to be a lot of gods there. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to worship other gods. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. Hear it. The Lord our God is one Lord. Don't you think? I mean, yes, thank God for the revelation of who He is. That doesn't diminish it. But don't you think in the context of it, you're going to have opportunity to worship a lot of other gods? There's the God of the Canaanites and the God of the Philistines, the God of the Hittites, the God of the Hivites. And there's going to be times that you're going to be sick, or there's going to be times when things aren't going to go well, and you're going to have fussing in your home and your family, and you're going to look across the way and they're happy and everything seems to be going good, and there's going to be this tendency. Just remember, as long as He's the Lord of your life.
Yes. Yes.
And you love him.
Yes.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
amen,
with all thy soul,
all thy
and with all thy mind.
Amen.
You'll increase mightily.
Yes.
So here we are. And there's a lot of gods in this world. It's a god of money. It's a god of influence. There's a god of our own body. There's a lot of things and a lot of opportunities to worship a lot of things. And then we wonder. We wonder. And I'm just preaching what I feel to preach. But we wonder, well, I don't see how I don't feel like, why is so-and-so so happy? This is getting a little boring. I want you to know something. Never, ever, not one day, ever, ever, is this walk with God to be boring.
Amen.
Never. Because wherever you're at, he doesn't want you to diminish. He doesn't want you to become stagnant. Disease comes from stagnation. No, no, no. He wants you to increase. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Apostolic Faith Church. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Why? Because he wants you to increase mightily. May we love him. May we love him. May we love him with all of our hearts, soul, and might. May we love him. God, talk to us right now. God, talk to us right now. Oh, God, talk to us right now. God, talk to us right now. God's thoughts toward you. It's thoughts of peace. It's thoughts of hope, praise the Lord. It's thoughts of blessing. Oh, Nabayanabaha, talk to us right now. God, Hatanabaha. Oh, God, Lord, increase our faith. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith, Lord. Enlarge my coast, Lord. Oh, God, enlarge my heart, Lord. Oh, God, I pray. Hatanayanabaha, Yatayatanabaha, Yahatayaha. Oh, God, I want to love you more. Oh, you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. Praise the Lord. God, help us here tonight. Come on, let's plant some seed. Come on, let's water. Come on, let's believe God. Come on, let's worship him. Hallelujah. Let's let God, praise the Lord, do an increase in our life. Oh, God. Oh, 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 let's sing something. Sing something. Amen. I'm inviting everybody to come to this altar. I know most are up here, but I, if you're at all able to come, I wish you'd gather around this altar. God wants you to increase mightily. Oh, God. Oh, God, enlarge our hearts. God, let it give us a greater capacity, amen, to experience more of you, to experience more of you, to experience more of your word, more of your power, dear God. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, come on. Amen, amen, amen. There's another view God wants to give you about life. Come on, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my influence. Oh God. Oh God. Oh Jesus.